Sutra number 2, the story of the bull. Along the river bank, deep in the forest, I discovered the footprints. Even under the fragrant grass, I see his prints. The track suddenly clear, clear as the sky above, lead you deeper and deeper into the endless mountains. You know, yesterday we talked about the struggle to get free, to listen to yourself, to stand up for yourself. Then everything is difficult when you become entangled. Should I do this? Should I do that? What is right? What path is right? Now, he is free. Along the river bank, deep in the forest, I discover the footprints. When you entangle, you can't even see the footprints. Now, it's the beginning. Now he discovered the footprints. The footprints has always been there, but you have been busy. Not looking after the essential, not looking after your own search, not looking after your own growth. Then you can't find it. Why can't people find it? Because they are not looking. You have to start seeking and searching if you're going to find it. Now he is free of his entanglement. Now he doesn't care about what people say. It means now he is ready to go deeper. Deep in the forest. That means now you are gone places where very few people have gone. It's safe in this city. It's safe to be part of a crowd, to have a name and a number. That is safe when you start walking your own path. That's what means deep in the forest. But only where there is danger is there opportunity to grow. You have to have a certain friction. You have to be tested. It doesn't come cheap. You have to stand up for yourself. No, as long as you have taken the first step, then already I discovered the footprints. The footprints has always been there. It's just that you cannot see it if you're not ready. As soon as you show that you are ready, then existence will take care. And the more it feels that you are really ready, the more it can show you. Because now you have trust to go into uncharted territory. Now you have trust to go into the unknown. Along the river bank, deep in the forest, I discover the footprints. And when you discover, then you are very excited. Because now the first sign that is possible. And remember, this Zen story, for the Zen people, they have to have a master. If you don't have a guide, how can you then see it? How can you then trust which direction? So that is the other sign No, this seeker, he has fallen in tune, he had listened. He has listened to the master. No, he can start seeing. That is the first proof, you have come closer. You have turned your back to the masses. You have turned your back to the old, to the traditions, to the books, to the past. Only then can you see the new. And it's just in front of you. Even under the fragrant grass, I see his prints. No, even under the grass, and the grass is all the desires, it's so many grasses, so many desires, so many dreams, so many illusions, so many thoughts. How can you find it? So, no, the grass is still there, but no, he says, the fragrant grass. There is changed. The grass is still there, but it's fragrant. And not only that, he can see the prince under the grass. So the mind is not gone, but it has changed, because now you have a different reality. Before it was just dry. It was a dry world. It was dry grass. It was empty. Now under the same grass, it has become juicy. Because you have changed. You start connecting. Then everything changed. No, the dreams, the desire, it's still there, but you have seen something else. And then everything changes. You have seen something deeper. No, there is hope. No, you know. You have seen there is something else. The track suddenly clear. Clear as the sky above. And it leads you deeper and deeper into the endless mountains. Suddenly, it always happened like that. Suddenly it happened. And everything becomes clear. And when you first have seen something totally clear, then you will never be the same then. Yes, the mind will come, if you don't take care of it, because it's just a glimpse. But it is proof that clarity is there. Silence is there. Love is there. No, it's very difficult to forget it. But if you don't take care of it, it will just become a memory. It won't become your reality. But at the moment it's clear. And it leads you deeper and deeper into the endless mountains. Already you had to have courage to go deep into the forest. But that is just the beginning. But now there is excitement. Now you are ready. Now you are ready to go deeper. Don't stop when you just take a few steps. Many people are like that. This insight should be to go deeper. To explore more. It's an ongoing journey. Always be ready for the new. And you will be tested in so many ways. Maybe you have to learn swimming to go across the river. Maybe you have to learn climbing. You have to learn to survive in the night. This is just hints of all the different sides of the search that you have to be ready to go through. You will be scared in the night of the wild animals. Your mind will come up and dream about your soft bed and your safety. Go back to the family, go back to the friends, go back to the known. That is always very easy. It's much more difficult to go into the unknown. Then you have to function more and more spontaneous in the moment. That's why very few people do it. It's much easier to be part of the crowd. Everybody knows you. And because everybody knows you in a certain way, you don't grow because everybody look at you. Oh, we know who you are. Oh, that's John, we know how he is. Oh, that's Mary, we know. Yeah, she's always like that. And then anything you do out of that box, you feel afraid because people will judge you. This is not Mary, that is not John. Oh, you have to behave. You have to be ready to break out. You have to be ready to be judged. You have to be ready that they say you are crazy. And it's much better to be crazy and free than to be safe and in a prison. Along the riverbank, deep in the forest, I discovered the footprints. Now a totally new journey starts. Now you see. Most people, they don't even start. They don't even start this journey. Remember, first, you have the ordinary 9-to-5. Everything is just like a machine. Then breaking out of it, the confusion. Should I do this? Should I do that? You have to go on. Then next, you see it's possible. You get some proof. Or you meet someone that you get the glimpse that it is possible. You see the footprints. Now you can smell something. Now it's up to you now. You have seen it. Are you going to go back or are you going to go deeper? Yeah, this person, he's very excited. The track suddenly becomes clear as the sky above, and it leads you deeper into the endless mountain. That is the way to do it. Now you get just excitement. Either it can be excitement or there can be fear. Either there can be fear or there can be love. If there is fear, no love. If there is love, no fear. But everybody is fearful. Why they are so full of fear? Because they don't have love. And no love, no trust. If love has blossomed, then you have trust, then you know. Then you can just go wherever. And that's why the excitement, when you see it, because you feel a new strength. You start tapping into a different dimension of yourself, which you don't need to operate in the ordinary world. There you can function as a sleepwalker. But in real life, in an adventure, when you go deep in the mountains, you have to be alert, because it's totally new. You can't function like you function at home in your kitchen or taking the bus to work. It is a totally new side that has to come up. And that is demanding awareness. And if the seeker is ready for that, then you get more energy, because you start tapping into your real strength, your real source. And even deeper than that, you see, it's not just a part, it is your life. There's no difference between the part and your life. Either the life can be an exploration, a growth, an adventure, or it can just be stagnant. That's why people are complaining so much, because they are stagnant. And you're supposed to be flowing. Of course, when the water becomes stagnant, it starts smelling. It starts complaining then. And if you make a little ditch so it can start running, then it becomes very happy. Then it starts singing then, boobly boobly, like that. It doesn't matter where it goes, at least it's moving. So people who are in tune with the flow, they start getting alive. If they're not in tune, then they become stagnant. If you become stagnant, you start complaining, you get sour, then you start stinking, like rotten water, no? Then next thing, they start growing moss on you. And then if you see some waterfall or something like that, you get very upset. You get jealous, you get angry. You judge it. Instead of start looking at yourself, how did this happen? Remember, it's much easier to judge than to look at yourself. This is also very normal on the path. It comes to a time where people start seeing, oh my God, what have I been doing? Wasted so much time. You seeing that you are responsible yourself. All the things you are dealing with, it's self-inflicted. If you are not responsible, then you can always just excuse, or I don't know, or you blame others, or you blame situations. And this is how it is. Till one moment you take total responsibility and realize that this is my life, I can do what I want. Then you have no excuses anymore. No excuses of any situations you're in, no excuses against other people. Nothing. But very few people come to that. Because you don't want to accept that you have done it yourself. This this is just the two first Buddhas, and already so much has happened from the confusion, entanglement, till now the excitement. And that is the first thing you need to turn the confusion into excitement. That is fuel to go on, to feel this happiness, this joy of life again. If people don't have that, and many, many so-called meditators and places where people go, they are just very dead and dull people because they haven't found the joy. They haven't found the excitement. And that's why I would like you to do everything. You need to move your energy on many different levels. Why just play one instrument if you can play a symphony, an orchestra? And that's what you can. It's okay sometimes you're digging just the drum or the violin or the flute. But sometimes you get the whole gangrene. It's all part of it. People always been missing because they are busy with other things. They haven't seen the path, and they can't even believe that any path is there. They can't believe that any Buddha, that any God is there, because they've been running so much. And no time in history have we been running so much as we are now. It's the most frantic, most crazy race that ever have happened. Everybody is busy. Everybody is running. And if you are not running, then you are strange in the society. How will you make it? How can anybody in this stressful society, this quick society, think you will make it if you don't run? Run where? Nobody knows, but just run. And when you run, then you will miss. Because first, you don't know what you're running for. You don't know what you're struggling for. And out of running comes stress, exhaustion, burnout. That is the new disease now in the whole modern world, burnout. It's never been there before. Why do you come burned out? This is millions of people this is happening to now. It's one of the biggest so-called diseases in America, and everybody is following America because they are leading the rat race somewhere. Then when you become very stressed, then you have to take pills to relax. So this is just, it's never been so crazy before. And still people are not stopping. And the only way is to start stopping. But you can't do that if nobody have told you. Everybody is just telling you have to go on, you have to go on. They have all kinds of educations in the world, but they have no educations how to find peace, how to be conscious, how to be truthful, how to be real. They have educations for everything. but not to come back to yourself, not to be real. Because it can't really be taught. But still it happens. That is the magic of satsang. You can teach it, but still it happens. How does it happen? It happens when you start falling in tune. That's why they say it's like a love affair. The more you fall in tune, the more can be shared. It's nothing, something through the mind. That's why most people are missing it. You have to be courageous enough to leave the mind. You have to be courageous enough to leave the ego. Ego is the false personality. Your real self, which is real, is the real. And even if people talking from the real, you can't listen to the real from the false. It's impossible. The real will just upset unreal people. It's always been like that. The real will just upset unreal people. The truth will always disturb those who live in lies. That's why they crucify Jesus. They can't stand it. He talks about meditation, about peace, about the kingdom of heaven. They think about politicians, that here is a new politician coming to town. And then they crucify him. Everything is misunderstood because you're talking from different levels. One is talking from the realm of the heart. The other one is talking from the mind, from the ego, from fear. One is talking from love, the other one is talking from fear. How can they meet? Impossible. Only lovers can meet. Not only meet. But melt. commentaries of the second Buddha, understanding the teaching, I see the footprints of the bull. Then I learn that just as many utensils are made from one metal, so too of myriad entities made of the fabric of the self. Unless I discriminate, how will I perceive the true from the untrue? Not yet having entered the gate, nevertheless, I have discerned the path. Understanding the teaching, I see the footprints of the Buddha. There is only one teaching, and that is seeing. It's clarity. It is an unobstructed vision. Not with your eyes, but with your whole being. That is the true teaching. Understanding the teaching, I see the footprints of the Buddha. And only when you have a clear vision will you see the footprints. No, you understand that it can only come from you. You are the only one when you have a clear vision, when you are pure, when you can see, then only you will find the true teaching. When you have found that, then out of that trust will come. Because no, you can see yourself. It's not what other people say. It's not what society say. It's not what family say. It's not what nations say. It's not what religions say. It's not what the old Buddhas is saying that you've been reading. No, it is now. That is what is falling in tune with the master, with the true guide. Then you start seeing yourself. You start walking the path, and only you can walk the path. Everybody has to walk alone. Alone and still together. Understanding the teaching, I see the footprints of the Buddha. Then I learned that just as many utensils are made from one metal, as too are myriads entities made of the same fabric of the self. No, you see that every truth, it comes from the source. In fact, everything comes from the source. Everything is made of the same fabric. You have cloth, you can make socks, jacket, hat, underwear. You made everything, it's the same fabric. You have some kind of metal, you can make forks, knives, spoons, bullets. You can make everything out of it. It's nothing to do with the fabric. Depends what you make into it. Everything comes from the same. Even though the appearance is different, it is still the same. So, all those who speak the truth, they come from the same. You are not confused anymore. This teaching or that teaching. No, why? Because you have touched it. You have met someone who you can get ignited and hear the truth. When you hear the truth is the same everywhere. There's no more confusion. Expressed in different ways, but you're not confused. That's why when you first have connected with a master, everything else falls off. There is no more seeking, because now you have connected. Only then, before, up to that point, you are confused. Is it this or that? It means that you haven't really touched the truth. You haven't touched love. You haven't touched silence. If you have touched it, then there's no doubt. Then you're just happy that, oh, I found this through this vehicle. It's all the same. Unless I discriminate, how will I perceive the true from the untrue? Then you have to discriminate, you have to choose. If people are just wishy-washy, nothing will ever happen. Some people, they say, oh, it's just float, go with the Tao, relax. But they are just living in a mess. They haven't taken the first step. Many people think they are finished, they haven't even started. First you have to discriminate. First you have to decide. First you have to stand up for yourself. First you have to be strong. Find your inner strength. Then you have to prove that you can make it. Relaxation comes far ahead. Most people are very lazy. Many masters are very lazy too, but you see them as the masters. You don't know what they have gone through before. Nor are they allowed to be lazy. Because there's nothing more to do. When there's things to do, get it done. Not yet having entered the gate, nevertheless, I have seen the path. He's saying, I haven't entered the gate. I haven't come into the temple. I haven't even seen the temple, but I see the path that leads to the temple. And it's so exciting. And I know. That nothing is more exciting than that, if you have realized there's a path beyond any path. That's why they say it's the royal path. It's not an ordinary path, it's the path. Very beautiful. Not yet having entered the gate. I haven't seen the temple. I haven't gone through the gate, but I have seen the path. And that makes the whole difference. Now he knows what direction. Now he knows when the path, when the beginning of the path is so beautiful, how can the temple be? Where's Nina? How's it going? Very good. Therefore, after my little explosion on Wednesday, I have been really good. What kind of explosion was this? But what triggered it?
It was the sharing.
Sharing, no?
Yeah.
And then
explosion.
You see, the language is very strange because some explosions are very good, no? Mm-hmm. After my little explosion on Wednesday, because most of the time people, when they explode, no? It's like you don't want to be around, isn't it so? Huh? When people explode, you just say, oh, that guy, he just exploded yesterday. Oh, my God. There's a different explosion, sir. after my little explosion on Wednesday, I have been really good. The session we had yesterday was very nice. Tuning into the body and heart, and generated some strong feelings that were pretty intense inside me. A bit difficult to describe, but maybe like a burning sensation around the heart. It was so nice, and I felt very present. Very good. Because this burning sensation around the heart, that will burn away that protection, you know. Because people have this protection, this old hardness around the heart. And that can go in different ways. And I have many different methods. It can be explosions, some crack, crack, crack you have to do sometimes. There's many different ways. But it will go. It was so nice, and I felt very present. During the evening and during Kundalini, thoughts starts to come. I was absolutely not interested in letting them come. That's how it is with the thoughts. You have felt something different, some very peaceful, nice space, and then those buggers come without you have said anything. Hey, who's inviting you? They just come. That's why you cannot trust those guys. These thoughts you can trust. They just interfere any time you sit. Some people, they have problems also. Then they sit meditating, I heard. Then thoughts come. Big problem. They're not supposed to be there when you sit silent. Then they just empty down. And then thoughts come and interfere. And Nina, she says, they start coming. I was absolutely not interested in letting them come. So I felt it became like a little fight inside me. Me against my thoughts. They kept coming and going, but they weren't as intense or strong as before I came up here. No, because these thoughts, they feel a bit, little insecure here. So they like, even the thoughts, sometimes the thoughts are like, da-da-da-da-da. But here they're like, what is happening? Oh. So they come maybe, but they feel very insecure. If you stay here long enough, then one day you realize they're not come. They have learned it. It's a safe zone. This here most of it is when you come outside, maybe they jump on you from the pine trees. They wait outside. I remember Osho, he always said in discourse, everybody was very quiet, nice satsang situation. But then on the way to eating in Vrindavan, then all the mind and egos, they jump from the bamboo. Do, 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 do. Just like you see like in a science fiction movie. Do, 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 do. And then by the time they're standing in line waiting for their food, then... Yeah? That's how quick it goes. It's normal. The same thing happened during dynamic. I kind of wander off a bit and don't really manage to stay present the whole time. Don't be hard on yourself. Relax. I guess all that is needed is practice. Yes. And that is the beginning. Now you have seen something. Now we had just talked about the second Zen bull, no? Now you have seen something. No? Then now you have, it's like black and white. You know something else. And still they come. You're not interested, but they come. This is the fight. Everybody has to go through this. It's the fight between the head and the heart. No? You come from the heart. You have gone up in your thoughts. Now you have to find back again. I guess all that is needed is practice. Yeah, but that all, that is really all also. It's not just all, it's all. And nobody knows how long that practice takes. Because the whole thing with the second Zen Bull is about patience and not give up. You have to be strong and don't give up and be patient. And many times you want to give up. Many times you want to escape. I guess all that is needed is practice. I could sense stronger this time that I'm fighting against my thoughts in a way. It is a bit tiresome and irritating. Yes. I still have some days left there, so I hope I win the fight against the thoughts. Oh, be patient, I said. They said they didn't build Rome in a few days, no? They didn't build Rome in a few days. You have to be patient. Otherwise, you just get annoyed, no, with yourself, and that's no good. And then again, the thoughts win. So it's not the fight against the thoughts, because the thoughts, they are there, but they are not there. You are there. Yeah, because many times you had a glimpse of that, you are there and there is no thoughts. So that is what you should come back to and just like watch if the thoughts come. It's nothing to fight with. If you fight with something, if you fight with the ghost, who you think will win then? Huh? You get exhausted because it's just air. You punch and punch and yeah. Nothing will happen. He will just, ah, ha, ha, ha. If he's a friendly ghost, he maybe like it. But don't get involved in ghosts, don't get involved in thoughts. That's my suggestion. You just watch it. That's the whole thing about meditation. And now we're into Vipassana, Zazen, meditation. Then you just watch it. Don't get involved. And the thoughts will always try to take you away from the moment. And meditation is to be in the moment. You relax into yourself in the moment, in the now. If you are really present now, no thoughts. You can sit in the now and watch the thoughts. No need to fight. If you fight, then you get involved. They have a saying, neti neti. It means don't take any notice. Not this, not that. Whatever comes, beautiful or ugly or fearful, let it go. It can't do anything with you. It's just thoughts. So don't get involved. It's like you're sitting in a cafe and you see many children. They have a playground and all the children start fighting and screaming. It's like that. You don't need to get involved. It's part of life. The thoughts is part of life. They come, let them come. Don't get involved. That's the art of meditation. The children are supposed to fight. They're supposed to play. They are supposed to scream. Don't get involved. Very soon they will be quiet. It's like that. If you get involved, then more fuss. Or like they say, it's like the clouds. You have the blue sky. The blue sky is always blue. Then you have clouds. The clouds, they are stopping the sun. You can see the sun then. You don't feel warm. That is the thoughts. Yeah, but they just float. How long can they go? Sooner or later it will be blue sky again. That's the art of meditation, silent meditation. Whatever comes, let it come and let it go. Don't go with them. Always come back to the moment. That's why it's important to have some kind of anchor. Maybe you connect it to the heart. you feel the heart, maybe the breath, feeling your breath coming in, going out. Be conscious of your body, relax, because the body will start tensing when your thoughts come. Then you get suddenly involved in some drama in Japan or Brazil or New York City, in your mind. You have a fight with your boyfriend or something. It's happening. Some drama from the past, some worries about the future. Don't get involved. That's the whole thing. Be present. Meditation is to be present. And it's like you say, I guess all that is needed is practice. Yes, I say all that is needed is practice, but that practice is all. If you have learned that practice, then you don't need anything more, and you are safe. Because then you don't get involved, whatever the thoughts and the mind is saying. You always have a distance. Why should you fight? You fight something because you think it's real. That's why people get upset. They think it's real. They get involved. They can't have a distance. Then they get very upheated, excited, emotional, angry, frustrated. Then they have forgotten that I have a silent part. I have another side of myself that is not my thoughts, not my emotions. If you get hold, that is the practice. But that practice nobody knows when you're fully educated. Even when you are free of the grip of the mind, you can believe it because you never thought, you're just waiting for it, and then I had many times these gaps and long gaps, and then the mind comes back. But no, I have given up. It stayed away. So that's the good news. And it wasn't even in a practice. I don't know how it happened, but maybe practice will help also. I don't know. Om Shanti. Good luck. It is beyond any practice, but still practice is needed. You have to do everything, and then when you can't do anything, then surrender. And then that's the next. Then surrender, then after that grace happens. Then grace happens. Then it's not in your hands. And that's how it is. Take one step at a time. We have seen the footprints here tonight. What is important is to move on, stay connected. Because that old mind, those thoughts, they have a lot of many tricks to get you involved in other things. One Zen master, he said, to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is enlightenment. How can you figure out these guys? It's great. And that's why it's only for those people who are a little bit wahahi. To study the way, and remember, it's only one way. It's not his way or that way or Buddhist way or Hindu way. No, it's the way. It's the reality way. To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. This is what people think, the self and the self, how is it? It's a paradox. But for an enlightened one to study the self, yeah, you have to start with the self you know. Yourself is the ego self. When you study that self, then you become free of it because you have learned the ways of the ego, of the mind. You are free of it. You are free of the grip of your little self. To study the self is to forget the self. When you see that it's unreal, your ego self is unreal, your mind is unreal, the thought is just ghost, then you can let it go then. Then you forget, you can forget yourself. When you forget yourself, you find yourself, your true self. And when you find your true self, to forget the self is enlightenment, is to remember. So the forgetting is the remembrance. Everything is like a paradox because it's two different, it's the same language, but it's in two different dimensions. One is in the material and one is in the spiritual. And you have the same language. That's why they talk about the small self and the universal self. The ego self is the confusion, is the delusion. That is what people think as themselves. When you study the self, you become free of the self. Then you can forget it. Because you have forgotten, you have remembered something else, you have found something else. You have found the real. That is the self, what they read. They write with big capital S. Buddha says no self, anatta. That is even more cool, I think. What self? Capital or small self? No self. Meditate on it. Very good. In this big self, small self, you still can hang on to something. No self. Buddha is very good. No self. Then what can you hang on to then? To study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to remember everything as it is. Then you and all the bulls and all the Buddhas in the whole universe is laughing. And just have a vision. If you want to meditate on something, wish and have an image of 10,000 bulls laughing. And see if you can keep your serious face. Om Shanti. Jai. Everybody have different faces, no? Most people are afraid of the bull. What do you think when the bull goes home? He can relax. Then the smile. Everybody was scared of me today.